This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Over the weekend, the Greensboro Truth and Reconciliation Commission held its second public session. The panel is set up to explore the events of November 3, 1979, when gunfire killed five demonstrators during a Death to the Klan rally held by Communist Workers' Party. North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC's Rusty Jacobs, is covering the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Hi, Rusty.
Hi, Frank.
One of the people who spoke during the second public session by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission was Greensboro Police Captain Rick Ball. What did he say?
Well, first of all, Captain Ball was a patrolman at the time of the rally. He had been on the force 3 years. He had to say that there may very well have been, or in fact were, mistakes by the police that day that kept them from getting to the scene of the gunfire until after it had happened, until after the bloodshed. But he said very, with a great deal of strength that mistakes does not equal conspiracy.
I am here before you to say enough is enough. When you separate fact from rhetoric, you will find not one ounce of credible evidence to support any such allegation, because it doesn't exist.
Former patrolman and now Captain Rick Ball, the Greensboro Police Department. Of course, there were people who didn't agree with his assessment.
Yeah, and Captain Ball, I should say, was there to speak for himself. He made that very clear. He was speaking for himself, not for the department. He actually showed up with another officer, a Sergeant Toombs, who was a patrolman as well that day and on the scene. But for the former CWP members, for the demonstrators, for everybody associated with that day, or I should say a lot of the people associated with that day, the patrolmen were not the police officers that they wanted to hear from. The patrolmen were not in the position to know that the police knew that a Klansman named Eddie Dawson, someone who was part of the caravan and had actually obtained a permit of the CWP rally a few days before, they weren't in a position to know.
You got the route, right?
That's right. And yeah. We could talk about that a little more. But in other words, people like the demonstrators, or the organizers of the rally, wanted not to hear from the patrolmen, but command-level officers.
My most profound conclusion is that the Greensboro massacre happened because of police behavior.
And I should say that was Sally Bermanzon. Sally Bermanzon was a CWP member, an organizer of the rally, and married to Paul Bermanzon, who was wounded that day very seriously. He's still paralyzed on one side of his body. He was shot in the head and the arm and suffers injuries from that day. And she says she still feels as strongly now as she did then that this could not have happened without police complicity.
And the argument of the CWP here is not that the police didn't do all they could, but in fact may have been complicit. And this gets us to Eddie Dawson and his possession of this permit, which had the route marked.
Yeah, and there's a some would say definitive, others would say inaccurate book on the subject by author Elizabeth Wheaton called Codename Greenkill, which was the FBI file name for the investigation into the whole event, that said that Eddie Dawson simply went to the police department and requested, as anybody can, a copy of the permit and was given it because that is what the police department was required to do under the law. But again, nobody at a command level position or status has come out and explained, addressed the questions of what they knew. There was also a BATF agent, alcohol, tobacco, firearms agent named Bernie Butkovich, who had infiltrated neo-Nazi groups that were associated with the rally. People associated with CWP want to know what the authorities knew about that. And if they knew about all these things and all these elements that seemed to be linked, why could they not have kept this attack from happening?
We have a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. There is still wide disagreement about the truth, and it leads to the question whether or not there can be reconciliation if the panel really is not in a position to get to the bottom of it.
It depends how willing people are to accept what the commission finds. The commission is facing now a morass of details. Eddie Dawson, this BATF agent, the fact that the CWP had only taken on the name the Communist Workers' Party, I mean, virtually days, maybe weeks before the event even happened. They had been called the Workers' Viewpoint Organization. And the CWP, the Communist Workers' Party, has a lot of negative connotations to it because of the word communism. And some of the people who were there from that organization this weekend said, you know, I want everybody to remember, we're people. These were well-educated people who were devoted to improving the lives of poor people and workers they felt were being treated poorly. And they feel that who they were gets lost in the labels that get thrown back and forth in this. And, you know, the commission got to hear from people who lived in the area where the rally took place, people who said, you know, this was a bad neighborhood that had a lot of police presence all the time, and suddenly during the event, the police weren't there at the right time. That seems, conspicuous and suspicious to them. There's all kinds of details for them to weigh.
When's the next public session?
September 30th and October 1st, another two-day set of hearings. The question they'll be exploring then, and again, this is another opportunity for the commission to convince people like former Mayor Jim Melvin, police officials at the command level to come out and contribute to a discussion about what does the past have to do with the present and future?
Rusty, thank you.
You're welcome.
Rusty Jacobs is a reporter at North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. The Greensboro Truth and Reconciliation Will Commission, as Rusty said, holds its final public session at the end of September.